Father, as always, I thank you. I pray that the entrance of your word brings light into our hearts. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, we've been doing this Ignite series. This is a subject that we've covered before, but the Ignite series will not be complete. We don't talk about our role going forward into this new priesthood that God has established. And it is so critical that we should understand this. Praise the Lord. You know, so I'm going to go through a few scriptures to help us understand, you know, what this new priesthood is all about. Some of us may already understand it. You may have heard part of this teaching before. We need to bring it to align with this series. I will be explaining what the Melchizedek priesthood order is. And we covered some of these when we did the Hebrews, a lesson on the book of Hebrews many months ago. And, you know, so let me start here by saying we always have to go back to what God had in mind. Anytime that we cover some of these restoration related teachings, we got to go back. What is it that God is trying to restore? Well, let's go back to Exodus chapter 19 and take a look at verses 5 and 6. This is what God needs to restore. You know, he gave an invitation to the children of Israel here. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. Now these are the words that you shall speak unto the children of Israel. Now, when Moses came, he called all the elders of the people and laid before their faces all the words the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord had spoken, we will do. So Moses went and returned the words of the people to the Lord. Said, well, you sent me unto them. I told them your words, and they came back and told me that they will do everything you said. So it looks like everything was good, but everything was not good. They were indeed in their minds. They really wanted to do what the Lord said, but their carnal nature could not stand the presence of the Lord. Because as we go to the next chapter, in chapter 20, when Moses went to receive the tables of the covenant, we see that in verse 18 of Exodus 20, all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking and all that. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. So you can see that their carnal nature could not handle the glory and the presence of God. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. You know, so again, look at that. Pitiful, pitiful situation there. The people didn't want any part of God, the glory of God at least. They wanted, you go hear it and you come tell it to us. Well, that's not what God said. God wanted to deal with them directly. Say, you know, hear and obey my voice and you will be like this. And they said, well, we can't do it because we will die. So they rejected the priesthood that God offered them. You will be unto me a kingdom of priests. They rejected it. They said, well, we can't do it. We're going to die. The people stood afar off, we're told. But Moses tried to tell them, said, look, fear not. You know, but they said, no, they stood afar off. But okay, well, Moses drew near to the Lord. And by that action that they took, they separated themselves from the priesthood that God invited them to be in. And Moses became a prophet unto them. It wasn't God's intention that Moses would be a prophet. God wanted to deal directly with these people in the priesthood, all of them. They would be a kingdom of priests. That means a royal priesthood. And this is the same thing that Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. He says, for you are a royal priesthood. Royal means, you know, kingship. And this is what God invited them to be in. And so Peter, writing this under the Holy Spirit, pretty much says the same thing as we see in Exodus 19. You know, ye are, he said, a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. This is 1 Peter 2:9. An holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of marvelous. But this particular priesthood, the order is different from, you know, the old offer sacrifices for sin. Well, the sacrifices and the priesthood of this new priesthood is not about sin. It's about showing forth his praises and his glory. Because Christ would come between that time of Exodus and the time that Peter was writing, Christ came and he dealt with that sin nature and instituted a new priesthood. God did. Now, let's look at a few things here. Complete obedience, what was God was requiring. He said, look, hear my voice and obey it. That's what he asked them to do, which they thought they would do, but they didn't. Now, he also, you know, wanted them to stay away from, anything that would lead them away from God. You know, hear my voice and do it. You know, but they couldn't do it. Now, God eventually narrowed down his choice to Aaron and his sons. You'll find that in Exodus chapter 28 and verse 1. It wasn't God's intention initially to do that, you know, but a lot of things happened and which made these people disqualify themselves. And so God chose Aaron. God chose, Aaron and his sons at the time. They had Nadab and Abihu and Eleazar and Ithamar, who were Aaron's sons. And the lineage, the priesthood was given to Aaron's lineage. You know, likewise in Exodus chapter 29, verses 4 to 9, we see the instruction that was given to them how to bring Aaron and his sons into the priesthood. Well, we're no longer dealing with Aaron and his sons. This same Aaron was the one that created the golden calf, you know, that led the children of Israel into great sin. And so we find that, well, eventually God rejected all of them. And we read in the book of Hebrews that even the Old Testament wasn't good enough anyway to give them a change of heart. So for God finding fault with them, he had to institute a new order, you know, of priesthood. It's called the Melchizedek priesthood. Well, let's read that in the book of Psalm 110 and verse 4. scripture talks about, you know, Christ coming into this priesthood in a different order. He says, the Lord has sworn and will not repent. This is a prophecy about the Christ. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Well, Melchizedek priesthood was not in the same line as the Aaronic priesthood. We see the encounter that Abraham had with Melchizedek in Genesis chapter 14. From Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 to 20, the first appearance of Melchizedek, which was later explained in Hebrews chapter 7 in greater detail. Well, in Genesis chapter 14, and Abraham, after he went to rescue Lot and had some battle over there, and his Lot had been kidnapped and all of that, or taken captive, the Bible says he met this Melchizedek, Abraham did, when he was returning from the slaughter of the kings. And here's what he said. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from slaughter of Chaldo-Lomeria and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, Genesis 14 and 18, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. Well, this was his first introduction, first appearance of who this Melchizedek was. And he blessed Abraham and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which shall deliver thine enemies into thy hand. And then Abraham turned around and gave him tithes of all. So it's the first appearance. Well, when we fast forward to the book of Hebrews, we begin to see that the Holy Spirit explaining who this mysterious figure of Melchizedek was. We only saw him briefly, but Hebrews explains it more. And it is important for us to understand the order of Melchizedek, because that's where God is now taking us. That old priesthood is gone. He couldn't do the job. They didn't even want any part of God. God found fault with them. And so God would bring a new order. Now, in Hebrews chapter 7, let's read a little bit about this Melchizedek, you know, that we just encountered in Genesis 14 for the first time. Well, for this Melchizedek, Hebrews 7 and 1, being the king of Salem, which is Shalom or peace, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. Now let's look at how he describes this Melchizedek. His name being first by interpretation, King of Righteousness. And after that is also King of Salem or King of Shalom, which is King of Peace. Now this Melchizedek, he says in Hebrews chapter 7 verse 3, is without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but is made like unto the Son of God, and he abides a priest forever. You know, so if he was without father and without mother, and he has no descent, you can't find his genealogy or anything, well, he had to have been a figure of God. Because as far as we know, you know, it was only Adam and Eve that could be said to have been without father or mother. Everybody else had some father and some mother. But this figure that suddenly appeared out of nowhere, you know, and who was he, this mysterious figure? Well, Jesus one day speaking to the Jews in the book of John, chapter 8. There's a lot of conversation many times that Jesus had with the Jews. In this particular place, he was explaining something about himself which they couldn't understand. You know, he talked about he being the one that would set them free and so on and so forth. And they couldn't understand it. Well, he also told them that, look, if you take my word and obey my word and do it, you shall live forever. And then they said, well, what do you mean? I mean, all our prophets, fathers, and everybody has died. And who make you yourself to think that, you know, somebody that obeys your word will live forever? You know, and who are you? And he said, look, I tell you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. John chapter 8 and verse 51 and verse 52. Are thou greater, they ask him then, about than our father Abraham, which is dead, and all the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself? And Jesus told them, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It's my father that honoreth me, of whom you say he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I don't know him, then I become a liar like you. But I know him, and I do keep his sayings. And your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day. And when he saw it, he was glad, and he gave him tithes of all. That's right. And Jesus is referring to that thing right here. And they said, now, in fact, we know that you are crazy. You are not even 50 years old yet. How could you possibly have seen Abraham? Well, that's a mystery, because they didn't know that Christ didn't just set up shop. His goings forth have been from of old, according to Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. And Jesus turned around and said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. At that point, they had heard enough, you know, enough of his blasphemy. I'm going to kill this guy because he makes himself God. You can't use that phrase, I am. Only God can. Well, that was God in the flesh right there. And he said, well, Abraham saw my day. And he did, you know, when he met him as Melchizedek. Now, this is the order of priesthood that God is reestablishing. This is not a priesthood that reports to anybody else. It's without descent. It's without father. It's without mother. As the order that he's re-establishing. Now, the true elect of God are coming into position as subordinate priests under the very high priest himself, which is Jesus Christ. The new lineage of priests will be different than the Old Testament priests. In the Old Testament, you know, they did a lot of things, sacrifices and, for sins and so forth. Under this new order, it's not about sacrifices for sin. It's called out of darkness to show forth his praises. So, you know, the expectation is that Jesus has broken the yoke of sin, which is exactly what he came to do. He broke the yoke of sin. He came to deliver us from that, so that we are no longer living under that yoke and we are free to serve the Lord. In fact, John the Baptist in John chapter 1 verse 29 said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Well, that's what Jesus came to do. You know, 1 John 3, 8 and 9, he came to destroy the works of the devil. You know, and he did exactly that. You know, so what else can we say about this Christ? Christ shown himself in many ways. Throughout the Old Testament, we see that in this place, even as Melchizedek, because he said, your father rejoiced to see my day. When he saw it, he was glad. And we saw that Abraham was actually glad, gave him tenths, gave him tithes. Abraham did not receive any commandment to give tithes. He did it by revelation, but he did. And we see that God has now chosen Christ to take away our sins. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. And ye know that Christ was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. So Christ did that for us. Now, the sacrifice again that Christ did was not on and off like they did in the Old Testament. In Hebrews chapter 10, we see that in explaining how under the Old Testament, those priests, they were always offering sacrifices daily and so forth. They ceased not to do it. And then there is a remembrance again made of sins every year, we're told. Because of every year they go back and give this sacrifice again. Because it was not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. But when Christ came into the world, he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Now, so the Lord took away the first covenant that he may establish the second. All of this is in Hebrews chapter 10. Now, verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 10 says, for by the offering, one offering of himself, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Glory to God. You know, so it doesn't need to daily be doing, those things again. No. But listen to the comparison of Christ in his priesthood versus the other priesthood. Now, verses 11 to 12 of Hebrews 10. Every high priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Notice they stand. They don't sit down. Priests could not sit down. They have to stand in their office. Now, but this man, Hebrews 10 and verse 12, this man Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice, not daily like they did, he for sins forever, we're told that he sat down on the right hand of God. Now, the old priests, they stand daily. Said standing daily, ministering the same thing over and over. And they can't sit down. They could not sit down because their job was never completed. They were standing in their office. This man, he went in. He did it one time. And then he sat down at the right hand of the majesty, right hand of God. That tells you, sitting down tells you the job is done. There's no need for him to stand daily anymore. He did it one time. Now, he now transferred unto us, he bestowed or bequeathed to on us the priesthood, which he himself, brought in, the new priesthood. But this time around, we're not making sacrifice for sin anymore because he did it one time. It's done. This new priesthood is Melchizedek order, which is the Christ's own priesthood. Christ was never a priesthood. Was never a priest after the Levitical order or Aaronic order. He was never a priest under those things. He was a priest. God said, called after the order of Melchizedek. And so he turned around and made us kings and priests, not after the Levite way of things or the Levitical priesthood or Aaronic priesthood. But this time around, we'll offer sacrifices of praise and worship. We're not dealing in sin nature anymore. Christ took care of that. Praise the Lord. Now that we have called us, we're stepping into this role. And our role is to bring others to Christ into the same nature. We see the example that Christ set for us. We repeat the same and demonstrate the same to others that they also may come in. In the olden days, the priests, they had all kinds of roles. You know, they would be the ones to, of course, you know, make sacrifice for sin, but also they would be the ones to certify, you know, the people, someone that was cleansed, you know, if they had received or had been contaminated by an evil disease such as leprosy or whatever, which their laws say that they should be outcast. If they claim that they are now well, well, they had to go show themselves to the priest, and the priest would determine whether or not they were well, and he might tell them to go make the sacrifice or this and that and so on. And they did all those things. Well, you know, this time around, we're not just ordered, we're not just, you know, commanded to determine whether the people are now fit or well to re-enter the society. We are actually commanded to heal them. So heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Don't just look and see, well, are you clean or not? You're not clean, go back out. You're clean, okay, come back in. I give you a certificate of cleanness. No, but actually, Jesus commanded us to do the cleansing. Praise the Lord. Now, in this ushering in of this new work, which it's not entirely new, came in with Christ, but, you know, things moved for a while, and things went backwards, and things moved for a while, and things went backward. We've been oscillating back and forth for a long time. And there were even years in which the word of the Lord went dark. And then, you know, the word of God is coming back again. And the Bible says in the book of Acts that the word of God grew and multiplied. It was the word that was actually growing and multiplying. So the word is coming back now again, growing and multiplying, calling us back into position, and we now knowing the order that we are supposed to be in, not dealing in sin anymore. You know, we put away the body of sin by the death of Christ that was put away. And when we come into him, recognize that baptism shows us that you go down under the water, dead, you come back in newness of life. That's the figure that baptism represents. And in this new priesthood, we have the kind of roles that Jesus himself had. First, we are told that Melchizedek was the king of righteousness. So the first thing we hear about him was righteousness. Well, righteousness becometh thine house and thy throne, O God. So we are also called in righteousness. And Christ, who knew no sin, was made sin for us. 2 Corinthians, you know, chapter 5. And we see it here in verse 21. He knew no sin, but he was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So king of righteousness has imputed unto us also righteousness. Well, next we see that he's king of shalom, or peace. Well, Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 27, my peace, hallelujah, I give unto you. Not as the world gives, but I give you my own peace. And let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So Jesus also imputed that peace unto us. Now, after that, he's also without father, mother, without end of life, you know, and so forth. Well, Jesus also imputed eternal life unto us. You know, so that it looks as though we also had neither beginning nor ending, because we were with him before the world began. Hallelujah. You know, and, you know, that's it. Even as Job, he said, look, where were you when the sons of God, you know, the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? And according to the book of Ephesians, we were chosen in him even before the world. began. Hallelujah. You know, so, and he, now that we are in Christ, Christ has given unto us eternal life. Jesus said, look, this commandment I have received of my Father, that whosoever should come to me, I should give him the life. For the Father had life in himself, and he has given it to the Son also to have life in himself, and to give life to whosoever will come to him. And so, you know, he has given this life to us. Hallelujah. He's given life to us just like the life was inside him. Oh, glory to God. Now, as many as will come to Christ, you know, they can receive this eternal life. And also, you know, come into this priesthood, this offer that he gave at the beginning that they rejected, the Jews did. They would now receive, those that come to Christ, they would now receive this offer again. You know, we can't say no anymore, neither will we say no anymore. But now we say yes, hallelujah, because God has called us into this new thing. This, you know, eternal life that he has given, is giving eternal life to as many, you know, as God has called him to give. Jesus, when he was praying this prayer, you know, in John chapter 17, he said, Father, glorify thyself, for the hour is come. You know, and the next thing he says in that prayer is, Lord, I mean, he's talking, he say, as thou hast given thy Son power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life, as many as thou hast given unto him. Hallelujah. Glorify thyself, thy Son, O Lord, that he may also glorify thee. And verse 2, John 17, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Isn't that wonderful? So all the attributes that we see in this Melchizedek, Christ also conferred the same unto us. And then last, what he said, well, it's like unto the Son of God. Well, isn't that what God said from the beginning? Let us make man in our image after our likeness. And they will be, you know, in order for them to have dominion, they have to come into our likeness and our image. Isn't that what the Bible says? You know, in many places, which we have quoted many times on this platform, such as, you know, Romans 8 and 29, wherein he said, you know, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Christ, and they will be like the Christ. You know, isn't that what he said, that this Melchizedek, you know, look like the Son of God, you know? They didn't know how else to describe him, and abide there forever. Well, you know, we are also made and in God's mind determined from beginning that we will be conformed to the image of the Christ, that we will also live forever. Ha! Glory to God with him. So this order is Melchizedek priesthood. We are called into it, and we, John said, finally, in the book of John, Revelation chapter 1, he said, God has made us kings and priests. That's right. He has made us kings and priests. Now, kings and priests mean that, you know, it's kind of the same thing like a royal priesthood. You know, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6. It says, God has made us kings and priests unto God forever. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus is the one that did that. He made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Can't give what you don't have. Jesus had the life in himself, so he gave it to us. You know, Jesus had the order of priesthood, Melchizedek, so he gave it to us as well. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, the Father, you know, the glory that I had with you, I have given them. You know, all the things that Jesus had, basically, he gave to us. One by one by one. You know, now, you know, Jesus demonstrated that you can only give what you have. Because he pleased the Father that in Christ should life dwell, and he has given him commandment to give this eternal life to whomsoever the Father will bring to him. And he did, and he has been doing that. Now, as the subordinate priests under him, under this Melchizedek priesthood, our job is to bring people to Christ so that they themselves may receive of the life and the grace that we have received. Praise the Lord. Our job is also to represent him correctly so that people may see. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men. You know, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, that they will see your good works. That's right. You know, people think that, okay, you don't need to do good works or there is nothing good in us. No, it's no such thing. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, these are the commandments that God has given us, and we walk in them. Now, as Jesus is now heralding, you know, the trumpet is going forth to gather my people and put upon them a priestly garment. Well, you know, let's see something that he did here in the book of Zechariah. Chapter 3. See an example of what the Lord is doing. He showed me, Zechariah chapter 3 verse 1, Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Well, so this is a picture of a conflict between this priesthood and the devil. Well, so, but the Lord stood up and said something to Satan. The Lord rebuked thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that chose in Jerusalem rebuked thee. Is this not a brand plucked out of the fire? Well, the other day we were talking about God's generals don't always start out right. Well, neither did this man. But he was a brand plucked out of the fire. But plucked out of the fire he is. Now, Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And the Lord said unto those that stood before him, take away the filthy garments from him. Now, was a high priest, yet he was clothed with filthy garments. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment, not those filthy garments anymore. From filthy garments to white linen, which is the righteousness of the saints. Take away those filthy garments. Put the white linen on him, called the righteousness of the saints in the book of Revelation. And put upon his head a crown. Hallelujah. Set a fair mitre upon his head. And give him a new change of garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. So, now that we are called into this order, here is the same thing the angel of the Lord is saying to us today, just like he said to Joshua. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt, this is not the you know, that other Joshua. This is a different one that was in the time of Zechariah and so forth, yeah, when they were rebuilding Jerusalem. You know, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, well, Then thou shalt also judge my house and also keep my courts. And I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Now, who are these that stand by? Well, there were the cherubims, the seraphims, possibly even the, 24 elders. I mean, there were some alerters, there were some patrollers, there were people in the, there were these angelic beings. And there's a commandment given to Joshua, if you walk in my ways, keep my charge, you also will judge my house and keep my courts, and I give you places to walk among these that stand by. Hallelujah. And he said, O Joshua the high priest, hear the word of the Lord. For all your fellows that sit before you to hear you, they are men wondered at. Hallelujah. Now this does people that come in. He did send a Joshua to bring the word to them. He said, look, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. You can see that's written in capital letters. That's the Christ. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua. Oh, my goodness. You know, I actually did witness it was like we were playing a role in a vision and being part of this vision. You know, there was a place where, we came in here with my family and we went to church for many years, 22 to be exact. And there was a certain place where we stood in that building every day and saw a great sight. It looked like there was a carving of a head and looked just like the head of God with the tip of his crowns. We have it on photo too. And he says, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. All of these are prophetic. And sometimes God will make you participate in what looks like a vision, that he may make you understand something. But he said, look, the people that I'm calling at the end will have the seven anointings of God. Upon them will be seven eyes. Each stone will have seven eyes. And I will engrave the graving thereof. Look like something carved, And I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Well, he has a chisel in his hand. And he's got each one of those stones chiseling away. And he's also pruning away. He's got a pruning hook on one hand, and he's got a chisel on the other hand. And he's taking every one of those lively stones, chiseling them away, chiseling away the dross and the sin consciousness and all of these other things, and bringing out the glister and, the shining and so forth. And at the end of the day, once he's got those sharp stones shining the way he wants them, he putting them side by side and they're fitting the way he cutting it. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. He's got each piece. It's got it cut just right. Now fit into the next one. Fit into the next one. Fit into the next one. And the next thing you know, here comes this beautiful house. The house of his glory, not made by hands, but he himself crafting it, each one of those stones representing the lively people who are in this priesthood. All of us at the same time being a priest, a holy nation, a kingdom of priests. It's not one versus the other. Everybody. This is what God has called us into. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's an introduction to this new priesthood, and I'm going to leave it there for now. There are many things yet to be told unto us as we go step by step through the days ahead. God will be unveiling to us what he's calling us to do. Now, we should no longer see yourself. If you've been called into Christ in this new order, you should no longer see yourself as a sinner. You know, the book, I love the book of Ephesians, the way he explained it, that look, don't see yourself as an alien, as an outcast, as a sinner anymore, but you are called to be saints. So he referred to them as saints. And through the riches of his grace, we are called saints as well, that we should be to the praise of his glory because we trusted in Christ. Now, we're no longer sinners, but we are now saints. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And that's how Paul wrote to all of them. See that the saints in Colossae, the saints in Ephesus, the saints at Philippi, the saints at Corinth, you know, saints called, because he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of Jesus, of children by Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his own will. And he called us into this priesthood for us to represent. You know, there must of necessity his priesthood continue, because it is one that hath no end. And, if, you know, yes, he is in heaven making intercession, but we on earth continue to represent that priesthood, because he has made us kings and priests, is what John said while he was still on earth. You know, John said that, you know, so we continue to demonstrate, you know, the grace, the righteousness of God to people, showing them how to come on in and also inherit this nature that Christ has bestowed upon us. And that is our lesson today. And I want to pray over the room quickly. I'm going to leave that lesson there. More to come in days to follow. Father, I thank you again for this great, no man taketh this honor unto himself. It's not by us. You're the one that called us. You bestow this upon us, and we do not frustrate the grace of God. I pray, Lord, that we will not frustrate the grace of God. This grace of this high calling, we were talking about that yesterday. This is part of that high calling. This high calling, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will give us understanding to step into it. Hallelujah. And walk like Christ walked. Talk like Christ talked. See like Christ saw. Think like Christ thought. Love like Christ loved. And do like Christ did. Hallelujah. That we also may receive that commendation like Christ also received. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. May we be well pleasing our entire life. Our work with God may be pleasing to the Lord. Without faith, we are told, it's impossible to please him. And the preaching of the word such as this, the word of God growing and multiplying, bringing true faith in our hearts to the glory of God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. And amen and amen.